This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're sweet to sin, and we trust the program encourages you and challenges you and does bless you. We hope that it instructs you in such a way that you feel comfortable reading your own Bible and understanding it for yourself. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries, all one word, lowercase.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. There's a lot of other information on that website that you might find helpful. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Well, we'd be love to take comments or prayer requests. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been taking a journey through the Bible, looking at some of the prominent figures in the Bible, both men and women, who have made an impression on me over the years. I wouldn't call what I'm doing biographies, because we don't really have the biographies of these people, but we do have what they did and how it has impacted us spiritually, or at least how it's impacted me spiritually. And we've come now to the New Testament, and we've looked at Mary, who gave birth to the Lord Jesus. We've looked at Elizabeth and Zacharias, who were the parents of John the Baptist, and we've looked at John the Baptist. And now today I want to look at the wise men who came from the east to worship the Lord. And I don't like preaching other people's sermons or taking their titles, but today I'm going to do that because we've often seen the bumper sticker, "Wise Men Still Seek Him." And I think that would be a good title for what I have on my mind today. Wise men still seek him. That is, they still seek the Lord. And so let's read from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, starting at verse 1, which says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And then you'll remember that they went back another way because the Lord told them to go back another way. And ultimately, the children that were under the age of 2 years old and under were killed by Herod because he was concerned about the fact that there might be a competing ruler, that a competing ruler had been born in Bethlehem. And it's interesting as I look at this that Herod did seem to believe that a king was coming, and he did seem to believe that these wise men knew something about this coming king. And sometimes I wonder if unbelievers, that is those who have never trusted in the Word of God formally, and who have never really come to faith in him, if they don't have a greater understanding and greater faith in some ways than we who claim to be saved. But their faith is a faith that is determined to undo that which they know to be true. It's something that I just don't understand, how a man like Herod could have known as much as he did and still thought he could destroy the children 2 years old and under and preserve his place on the throne. But anyway, I want to read from Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48 because I think it gives us some understanding of where these wise men came from. I've dealt with this before, but this term wise men is a term that's found quite often in the scripture, and it usually is associated with people in the pagan world that are magicians or people who are worshiping pagan gods. And so we read in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, if you remember the story of Daniel, which we have touched on when we looked at Daniel, he was supposed to become one of the people in this college of wise men. They were trying to convert him and groom him to be a wise man, part of this, I call it the college of wise men. But Daniel, if you remember, was one who was able to avoid the peer pressure that was put on him, and he purposed in his heart not to eat the meat that the king gave him, because that meat had been offered to idols. And as a result, God began to use him and his three friends. And of course, they were used in much trial. But I believe that he, instead of him being instructed and indoctrinated by these magicians, these wise men of Babylon, I believe he instead taught them. And as a result, they knew that there was a king that was going to come out of Jerusalem, out of Bethlehem, who would reign in Israel. And I've often wondered just how they knew that, because the only prophecy I can see was the prophecy of Balaam, who we would look at as a false prophet, who back in Numbers chapter 24 had told Balak, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall arise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult. And so it turns out that Balaam, who really prophesied for money and who is condemned in the New Testament, did have insight with regard to this coming king. And so it looks like when Daniel taught these people, he taught them not only what he himself knew, but he taught them from the Old Testament. I'm suspecting that he made them quite familiar with Old Testament prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it turns out that he became the administrator over the wise men. Instead of the wise men changing him, he changed the wise men. And now, years later, which is probably at least 500 years later, wise men are coming when they see this star in the east. Now, what star would this be that they would see? We often talk about the eastern star, but if you look at the map, it probably was not a star that was in the east. The people were in the east when they saw the star. That is, they likely came from the province of Iraq, and there's differences of opinion about that. But Babylon would have been in Iraq, and so they likely came from the province of Iraq. And that eastern star was really a western star that they saw in the east. So what was that star? Well, there's been a lot of speculation as to the kind of star it could have been, but it seemed to be a star that stopped and then started again, that led them from, if I'm right, from Iraq or Babylon, the area of Babylon, to the probably led them to Jerusalem because they talked to Herod, and supposedly they were going to find this baby in Bethlehem. It's likely that they found him in a house in Jerusalem, but they may very well have found him in Bethlehem. There's some question about what house they found him in, but the whole point is that they were led by a star, and this star had a unique characteristic to it. And I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm sure that many people will disagree with me, but I think they saw an angel who had gone before them and appeared as a star. But whether I'm right or not, it was something that the wise men recognized, and probably they were looking for it because of Balaam's prophecy. And then after they had found the wise men, or after they had found the Lord Jesus, they went back another way, and that's important for us to notice, because when we meet the Lord Jesus, when we trust him, when we are brought into contact with the Lord Jesus, our paths always change. We often quote that portion in Matthew chapter 7 that says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And we are born on a path to destruction, but when we meet the Lord, we change our destinies, we change our lives, everything changes. And so they went back another way. They did not go back the way they came. And I think that's a picture of a true conversion. So as we look at this, they came and they worshiped the Lord, and they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And it's interesting that I'm going to take some liberty with what those three things represent. We know that in the Bible, we're given a literal description of what happened, but that literal description may have symbolic meaning. And so I think there was symbolic meaning to the gifts that were given. Now, I know we're often told that these were three kings that came and saw the Lord, and the reason we're told there were three kings is because there were three gifts that were given, but we don't know how many kings there were. Some even think that these kings might have been leading a small army, and some think that they were called kings when in fact they were just honorable priests. And there's a lot of different opinions about who these men were. They gave three gifts, but we don't know how many of them there were, and we don't know their names, although there's tradition associated with the names of these men, but I'm not going to give that to you. But they gave him gold. And in the Bible, the gold usually represents something very precious. And in this particular case, I think it represents the deity of the Lord, that they were recognizing him as a king, but not just as a king, as the Son of God. They gave him frankincense, and frankincense is a fragrant incense that is usually used in the offering up of prayers, particularly in the Old Testament. And I think it speaks of his fragrant life, his perfection. And then there was myrrh given, and that myrrh likely speaks to us of his death. And so we have gold and frankincense and myrrh, and kind of an encapsulation of who he is in his life. He's God. He lived a perfect life, and he was born to die. And of course, we don't want to leave it there. He was also raised from the dead. And so this is the one that they worshiped, and we can't worship him unless we are truly trusting him, if we're trusting in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I hope that we are trusting in him today, and that our paths have been changed, our lives have been changed by trusting in this one that the three wise men worshiped. Wise men still seek him, and if you've never sought him, I hope you will seek him today. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon all who will listen to it. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.